to Monday. It's June 24th, and you're listening to Idaho Matters here on Boise State Public Radio News. Hi, I'm George Prentiss, sitting in for Gemma Gaudette. What is a livable wage? We know what Idaho's minimum wage is. It's $7.25 an hour. It's been at that stage since about 2009. It's tied to the federal minimum wage. According to federal and state estimates, about 16,000 Idahoans made $7.25 an hour or less in 2017. About 58,000 made less than $8.75 an hour. More than 200,000 Idahoans earn less than $12 an hour. There is a new effort to put the conversation about the minimum wage on a statewide ballot. And joining us to discuss the state's minimum wage are Rod Couch, head of Idahoans for a Fair Wage, and Suzanne Budge, Idaho State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rod, what is your connection to this? What motivates you to do this? We'll talk about your group and your effort, but what connects you to this issue?
Well, as you mentioned, the federal wage hasn't been raised in 10 years here in Idaho. And despite that, despite wages not going up, what's happening is the pricing of houses, rents, is just skyrocketing. And so people stuck at the same wage, especially if our lower wage earners are really struggling trying to make ends meet. I've talked to so many young people who just feel their future is bleak, that our jobs are being shipped overseas, that they go to college, they get degrees, and there's either not jobs here in Idaho to accommodate them, or they have to get a job really that pays really low. And, of course, they have high student debt. And they're looking at, how am I ever going to pay this debt off? And many of our brightest young students are graduating from college and going to neighboring states where they pay more, Oregon, Washington, California, and other places. So we're losing a lot of our bright, talented kids. And other ones are also combining. They're living three and four to a household to try to make ends meet. They're working two and three jobs. And it's just my position that anybody who works full-time shouldn't have to live in poverty.
Hmm. We'll drill into the specifics, but you are collecting signatures now?
Yes, we just started a couple weeks ago.
And it's our understanding that you are looking at the 2020 general election.
Yes.
Not this year.
Correct, yes.
Right? Suzanne, this is not a new conversation. And you have been a part of this conversation with businesses and with lawmakers in this state. And can I imagine that your arguments over the years are the same here in 2019?
Well, I think our situation in Idaho is extraordinary really right now, because being a lifelong Idahoan and an Idaho native myself, I've lived in Boise for more than 30 years and seen my share of downturns. And I believe the business community here is facing real challenges, but they are challenges related to growth mm-hmm. and extraordinary difficulty in finding employees. The unemployment rate in the Boise area is below 3%. So the problem our employers have is really in stark contrast, I think, in some ways to what you heard Mr. Couch just mention, and the problem is we can't find skilled employees. We can't find skilled workers. You don't need to do any more than walk around any small town, Idaho, or even in Boise to see help wanted signs everywhere. And that's really one of our biggest issues. So with an unemployment rate at that level, the biggest problem is finding employees. So the issue is not having too few job opportunities. It's that there are not enough workers to fill those opportunities. And so we see the flip side of that argument, which is Idaho is so attractive to businesses, so attractive to individuals. They're coming from these high-wage states, particularly California, Seattle, Portland, the states that have passed these kind of wage increase mandates. And the argument I would make is that the reason folks are flocking to Idaho is because we have a good, predictable, booming economy. And from that standpoint, we don't need to interfere. In the first do no harm way of looking at the world, we believe we have a good contrasting business economy because our business policies have been substantive and sustainable over time. some would argue that the government should do more here, but the business community would argue that the government should let them thrive and do no harm.
But all that said, I mean, you must acknowledge that $7.25 an hour, and indeed many of these are young or new employees, it's nearly impossible to pay rent or put food on your table.
Let's talk about who the minimum wage workers are. And those statistics are available through national sources. This isn't data that comes through a proprietary source. This is all Bureau of Labor Statistics and nationally evaluated data that is available publicly. Only 2% of the workers are earning at minimum wage. Of those 2%, fully half of them are in the 16 to 24 age range. Mm-hmm. The majority of those are not single-family earners. They are the second or third earner. And some very significant percentage, 40% of those, are living in a household where the household income is $50,000 or more. So let's look first at who the minimum wage earners are. So the first half, young, entry-level jobs. Hopefully those individuals are improving their skills so that they can move up on the next rung of the economic ladder, and indeed most of them do. Statistics say that most of those individuals move up and get a pay increase within the first 12 months.
But isn't it fair to say that the minimum wage is also a factor in other wages for those people who make $8.75 or $9.75?
Yeah, absolutely, which is also an issue. So,
but again, that's not livable.
Well, and again, those on minimum wage are generally not single-family earners either, if you look at the statistics. So again, 1% of the workers out there are earning minimum wage. Those aren't people that are the sole source of income for their family.
But that number goes up pretty quick, though, when we get to $8.75 or even $10 an hour.
Again, our argument would be we have such a booming economy, most folks in that category are not making a minimum wage. If they are making a minimum wage, they're working part-time, they're young, or they're unskilled.
You don't oppose an initiative going on a statewide ballot for voters to have some say in this.
Of course not. We have that process as part of our public process. Idaho has looked at the initiative process and, in fact, have very recent experience with quite a few initiatives, which you and I have both lived through and observed, from education to the most recent two we've seen, one on gaming and one on Medicaid expansion. Oh, of course not. Absolutely. Of course not. Not at all.
Okay. So, Rod, drill into this. The petition, as stated, would immediately raise the minimum wage to what?
Okay. So, if this is passed in November of 2020, the first increase would take effect in June of 21. So, there would be 6 months or roughly 7 months after the election. Mm-hmm. And the first increase would be $8.75. Many businesses in Idaho are already paying about $7.25, so it wouldn't affect a lot of businesses. But for the people who make $7.25, it would be a huge help to them to be able to pay their bills, to be able to afford their rent. And I would just point out that the average age of minimum wage workers is 35, and it really affects minorities, and it affects women. Idaho has the largest gender gap in the nation at 75 cents an hour, so a lot of women are really affected by this minimum wage.
But then the wage
and by low pay.
To... Beyond that?
Yes. So it would go up roughly a dollar a year until it hits $12 a year, in $12 an hour in 4 years. And then it would be indexed to inflation. So if prices continue to go up, then wages would go up. And that's really all we're asking, is that wages keep pace with inflation. In 1968, the minimum wage was $1.60 an hour, which doesn't sound like much today, but in today's dollars, that would be worth $11.59. So the minimum wage has dropped over $4 here an hour here in Idaho, and that's kind of why we chose 12 as a target, because we just want to keep pace with inflation.
It's a conversation that is robust, I think, to say the very least. We got an email from Asia, and who wrote to us saying, "Hi, I work at a job that currently pays me $10.50 an hour, but even then, it isn't enough for a college life. I'm curious about what will happen to the jobs that already pay more than $7.25, as well as salary jobs. Do you think these jobs will also increase wages as well, or might they stay the same and effectively lower their payment standards?"
Okay, well, the research has shown that if you raise the minimum wage, it generally will affect people up to $4 an hour higher. So people making $16 an hour and less will generally go up. And I've also heard from people like teachers, labor unions, that feel that their wages will also go up. There's the phrase, a rising wage floats all boats. And that's because you're generating money in the economy. If you're putting $10,000 more a year into people's pockets, they go and spend it. They go to a restaurant, they go to a bar, they go buy clothes. And so they're helping our communities and they're helping the businesses in our state. And we are very pro-business. We want businesses to do well here in Idaho because the worst thing is if a business struggles, they have to lay somebody off or have to close. We don't want that.
Suzanne, might a business be threatened by this?
Well, let's again look at the flip side of this. A rising tide also raises costs for everybody else. And, you know, employers are faced with several options when they have these kind of mandates imposed upon them, which, again, why I think Idaho has a very successful business climate, attracting people from out of state, not just businesses but also millennials and retirees, and that's part because we have done the right kind of economic policies over time, including not adding additional mandates to businesses. But, you know, businesses, when faced with a major component of their expense, which is labor costs, are going to first try to absorb those costs. I'm happy to represent businesses throughout the state of Idaho who do their very best by their employees, generally are working to try and keep employees. If you're an employer, it's way more expensive to churn your staff, hire new employees, train them again, and start all over. That is not an ideal business model. Most employers want to keep good employees, and they want to keep them over time, which is why the rising cost of health insurance in particular has been one of the biggest challenges of businesses for more than a decade. Actually, as long as I've been working on business issues, so almost two decades.
Rod, how many signatures?
Different signatures.
Yeah. How many signatures do you need?
We need just over 55,000 statewide by April of 2020.
And how organized are you?
We're pretty organized. We have
what does pretty mean?
We have
you have dozens, hundreds.
We have
people?
Hundreds of volunteers throughout
hundreds.
The state that are getting signatures. We have leaders in Bannock County and Bonneville County. We have signature gatherers in Coeur d'Alene and Moscow and Twin Falls and Blaine County, and of course all over here as well.
Suzanne, can I imagine a pretty interesting conversation if indeed this ends up on the ballot leading up to that vote?
Oh, I think we're going to have an interesting conversation before that, frankly. We're in the process of surveying our members. We certainly ask. We're the only national and local business organization that directly surveys our members on issues, and it's an ongoing process. We survey locally and we survey nationally. So we will be in the process of reaching out to our members in the next few weeks, asking them about these issues. But to return to a subject you asked, what do business owners do? First, they try and absorb those costs. Next, they find alternatives. They quit hiring or they look for alternative robotics or, you know, indirect types of ways to do the business that they're doing. If you go to a fast food place or many restaurants now, you'll get an iPad instead of a person at your table or at your kiosk. And the next thing they're going to do is try and raise prices. But frankly, in a lot of the businesses we have here, raising prices isn't really an option.
Okay. She's Suzanne Budge. She's Rod Gauch. Thank you so very much. Best of luck to you. And my sense is that you bet this conversation only gets more robust.
All right. Thank you, Drew.
This is Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. Up next, award winner Emily Raskovich, author of the bestseller Idaho.